So today I want to talk about what's on my heart, what God has been speaking about. We said a couple of weeks' time about how God is building his house, and then he says that he needs some laborers. That's me and you, just in case you forgot. And then we get to the New Testament, and Jesus says, come on, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So there's just this urgency on the message that things are ready to go, but where's my workforce? Where are my reinforcements? Where are my team? And I felt like the Lord today wanted to stretch some of our thinking and remind us that he has called us and he has purposed us and he has destined us for the things of this life. And he says, look, you can live this way or you can live that way. Which one is it going to be? What are you going to do with what I've given you? You know, we think of all the stories from the New Testament, you know, the talents, I've blessed you with this, I've given you this. What will you do with it? I remember years ago, a friend of mine coming and said, you know, I'm really working hard and thinking about well done and good and faithful servant. That's what I want from Jesus. I mean, the story is that you know that he's going to say that before you even do anything because he's so faithful towards us. But our desire is through grace and might and his power that we will do more than you can anticipate and we will do all the things that God's called us to. You see, God's building his house, but he hasn't left the site. He wants us to be part of the fun. I wrote down a few things. Isn't it incredible that we get to serve Jesus? You know, this is something you've got to think about more and more and more. Maybe you think of the coronation the other week, but come on, we are serving King Jesus. This is not an earthly king. This is a heavenly king, and we get to serve, number one. Number two, we get to represent him. You're probably saying, wow, that's a lot of pressure. Like, wherever I go, I have to represent Jesus. No, it's just what comes out of you. If you are a Christian, then you have a new identity. Your identity is in God, and wherever you go, you represent him. Now, every once in a while, it's probably a good idea to remind yourself of that. Otherwise, you might represent yourself, which you don't want to do. We want to represent Jesus because we have died to self, and our lives are a testimony. And then thirdly, this is the good news. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we have to remind ourselves of this because otherwise we'll go around like flat batteries, like a phone out of charge, that we'll go around like we're just about to run out. And I'm telling you, you can live like that or you can get to the source, plug in, don't ever plug out, and watch how he will fuel your life. This is why I really believe the Lord's speaking this week, saying we need more and more people filled with the Spirit. We need more and more people baptized in the Holy Spirit because he's the one that fuels us in this life. If Jesus was the one that helped the disciples back then Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came, then the Holy Spirit is here to empower our lives. He fixes exhaustion. He fixes worry. He fixes anxiety. He fixes insecurity and unsure. He fixes directionlessness. Is that even a word? But he fixes that lack of direction, and he gives you purpose, and he calls you to the things that only you and him can do. You can do a lot of things in your own strength, but you'll burn out, wear out, be done. But in his strength, you can do these things. And I felt the key word is just praying, and I just want to give it to you today for some of us. And the word was this: I'm saved, but I've lost my mission. You know, I know Jesus. I know the Lord, but I think my first love has waned. We read about that in Revelation. But for you today, maybe I'm saved and I've said yes to Jesus, but I've lost my mission. And I thought about a few things that it could be. I'm hurt. Come on, you know if you live life long enough, you're going to get hurt. More than 15 minutes, you'll probably get hurt. You know, like again, you brothers and sisters, they hurt each other. Churches hurt each other. People hurt each other. Bosses hurt each other. Family hurt each other. We hurt each other. We hurt ourselves. You're going to get hurt in life. But what are we going to do with it? We're either going to go around hurt our whole lives and that becomes our new identity, or we're going to remind ourselves that Jesus has already won and he has taken care of all the things. And anything I'm hurt over, give it to him. He will solve it. But I'm saved, but I've got hurt. I'm saved, but I've got disinterested. You know, again, there's so much going on, we can find ourselves disinterested. Say to ourselves, well, I was really passionate one time. Or maybe I'm saved, but I've lost my zeal. I've lost my passion. I've lost my excitement. I'm telling you, let's pick it up today. In the name of Jesus. Let's pick it up because we have a world that needs us. We have a world that needs us to bring the good news that we have found, and you don't have to do it in your own strength. You can do it with Jesus. See, sometimes we can find ourselves living life, but not letting God live in our lives and through us. We're just living our lives, just doing our thing, just going here, going there. But really, we need God to live through us. And once he does, get ready for what's going to happen next. So I want to give us some fresh hope, and I want us to think of some of what Jesus says from the New Testament. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at a very famous portion of scripture, and you already know it, it's Jesus walking on water. And maybe by the end of this, you're going to be, I don't know, at the local lake, and you're going to be trying it too. That, I think God would be excited for that. But we are going to encourage our spirits and encourage our hearts. You know, why does the Bible say that we have to be like little children sometimes to see things? Because the way they see is incredible. The way they see things, they don't see all the mess and the junk. They see opportunity. They see with imagination. They see what's not even possible yet. And sometimes we sit there and go, wow, I wish I could see that. Well, Lord, give me eyes like a child sometimes, because I don't want to see it just the way it is. I want to be like Jesus. He says, sees the way it is, and he sees the way it's becoming by faith. And that's what he sees in us. That's what he sees in you. So Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read it together. Notice the word immediately. I like this word. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. You see, sometimes the Lord has to make you do a few things. Ever notice that? Come on, you've got to share your testimony. You've got to go on a missions trip. You've got to give. You've got to pray. You've got to do this stuff. There's an importance to it. Don't miss out on it. If you do, you'll be the worse for it. But Jesus is saying here, guys, there's something I need you to do. And he says immediately he got the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. They're going to learn a very valuable lesson that they don't know just yet. When he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind that was against it. So Jesus is on the land. He's praying. He's with the Father. The disciples are out on the boat, and they're rowing all night long. And it starts to get stormy and wet and rainy. Maybe it's like Northern Ireland times 10. I don't know. But it was moving. It was not a good environment to be in. It says this, shortly before dawn. Notice this, shortly before dawn. It's pitch black. Jesus decides to do something extraordinary. He went out to them walking on the lake. Walking on the lake. I think in some ways this is just Jesus, for whatever reason, just decided, I'm just going to show off. I'm just going to show these guys there is nothing that I cannot do. I mean, the day before, do you remember what happened? They fed the 5,000. They fed the 5,000 with a small packed lunch, and suddenly 20,000 people get fed. This is the God who can do absolutely anything. And I want to encourage you today that God can do anything he pleases. So Jesus comes across on the lake. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. You ever had a time where God was doing something, you're just scared? I mean, can I share a quick testimony? When God told us to buy this building and they were to raise all the money in 8 weeks, I was a bit terrified. I was a bit nervous. Lord, I remember praying and saying, Lord, if you don't do this, what are we going to do? And then he did in 8 weeks. Was I a bit terrified whenever we got next door for $175,000 and the email comes through and says, good news, you've got a building? Yes, I fell out of my car. I was that scared and terrified. I was like, oh, Lord, what have we signed up for? I mean, when you step into the things that God has called you to, you're going to at times be terrified. And the disciples were. And yet, notice what they said. It's a ghost. And they cried out with fear. But then Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Wow. Aren't those good words? Whenever you're going through life's issues and maybe you've lost a job or you've lost a loved one and you're waiting for something to happen or something terrible has just taken place, and Jesus just turns up and says, don't worry, I'm here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know you are, but don't be afraid. I am here. He goes on to say, Lord, if it's you. And this is where Peter just I don't know what got inside of him. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. But something got inside of Peter where he got excited. I want to encourage us today. Sometimes in our walk with God, we've got to get excited. And before you know it, you just put yourself into something. You know, I love it when people go yes to things before they even think about it. I'm like, yes, come on. Come on, you're just going to go for it. I'm going to go yes to that mission trip. I'm going to go yes to share my testimony. I'm going to go yes to talking to people up the town. I want to tell you a fun story. Josh was telling me yesterday. He was meant to go to one place, but he ended up in another place. And when he ended up in this other place by mistake, I think God had a setup for him. Because he said he got there, and what he noticed was a bunch of Christians on the street. Wow, they weren't in church. They were on the streets. And on their t-shirts was healing, and they had a flag that said healing as well. And their ultimate goal was to be in the community and for everybody to know that you can come here for healing. And I think they said something that they'd prayed with two people already that morning and got saved, other people getting healed over the weeks. And I just thought to myself, wow, This is what happens when some Christians get excited and it spills outside the church. This is what happens when Christians get excited and it affects their workplace and it affects their community and affects their life. Because otherwise, we get a holy huddle and we're all good and we start to complain about each other, like, I don't really like her and she didn't look at me good. And we forget about what our purpose is, to change and transform this world. Amen? And so sometimes you just got to say yes and get out there. And here's Peter's. Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water if it's you, Lord. And Jesus simply says, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Wow. What an incredible story. Problem is, it doesn't end there. Continues to say, then, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and he said, you of little faith, he said, why do you doubt? Wow. This was an incredible story, and you're probably saying to yourself, Lord, what is the point? What was the point of the story? Was it just to show that I'm amazing and you're not? Was it just to say, look, you can do some things some days, but most of the days you can't? No, I think the Lord was doing something in Peter's life and doing something in the disciples' life that was meant to change them forever, and it would. And God's here today, and he said, I'm wanting to use the same story for you. And maybe the challenge is, would you have got out of the boat? Maybe the challenge for you is, would you have thought to ask the question? And if not, why not? We can't just say personality. We can't just say, well, it's just not me. No, because the Lord is inviting each and every one of us to step fully into the unknown with risk and faith and excitement and anticipation, knowing that there's far more excitement outside the building than there is inside the building. That's where we reach people. That's where we see transformation take in place. So today, where are you? What a moment in history. A crazy moment. Two guys get to walk on water. But I'm thinking about the day before, and I'm thinking about the feeding the 5,000. And if you remember the story, it wasn't the disciples, the men of God, that stepped up with the plan. In fact, you know what their plan was? Do you remember the story? They said, Lord, like, we don't have much money. Let's go. Like, let them just go home. Like, you know, maybe they've got moms and dads or somebody else can feed them. Let's just go. And Jesus says, No. We've got compassion on these people. We're going to feed them. Do you remember who made the difference that day? It wasn't the disciples. It was a small boy with a packed lunch. Wow. See, God loves his disciples, and Jesus was working with his disciples, but they hadn't got it yet. They were just spectators. They had not begun to become participators. And I want to say to you today that you can have a faith that just idles by, just cruises on, and God's good and he's faithful, and you can follow Jesus every day. Or you can remind yourself that it's not just about following Jesus, it's about being like Jesus. And the great things that he did, you're going to do greater. That's what the Word of God says. It's that you have been called out and purpose, and his anointing is on you, in your workplace, in your family, on the bus, in the car, wherever you find yourself, to bring revival and to bring transformation. Why couldn't the disciples offer up their packed lunch? They didn't want to. Why did the little boy do it? Because he just believed. He just believed enough, and he offered up his packed lunch, and it was enough to feed 20,000 people. It made no sense, but Jesus can do a whole lot with a tiny bit of faith, a tiny bit of faith. So I want to encourage you, church, where are you when it comes to it? 12 of them couldn't see it, but one small boy could. And so my question is this, when was the last time that you remembered God's plan for your life was to change the world? When was the last time you remembered that God has called you and he has purposed you to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think? When was the last time you reminded yourself that you are here for so much more? I mean, here's God's mission. It's never changed. That we would become the children of God and we would transform the world. That's always been the mission. It's never changed and it never will change. You, if you put your trust in Jesus, are the children of God. So what is your mission? Change the world. Change the world with the power of the Holy Spirit and with the anointing of God on your life. Okay. Let me keep going on. It says, now we're going back to see a couple of points. Peter had to learn a couple of lessons that day that was going to forever change his life. The first one is this. Jesus has called me to a life far bigger than I can imagine. And it started with that verse in verse 28 where he simply says, come. Or verse 29. It says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus simply says, come. Can I say to you that this word is not a word that was spoken 2,000 years ago and then dropped? This is a word that's still active today in the same way as he said, go. And maybe I might say it as, let's go. But this word is active. It is not a dead word. This is a word to speak into your heart today and say, you ready? Let's go. Are you ready? Come. This is a word that has not finished. This is a word that continues to echo. This is a word that continues to speak today. And he's saying, come on, you're a child of God. You're a disciple. You're a follower of Christ. This is who you are if you've given your life to Jesus. Let's go. Come. Let's move some things. Let's move some mountains. Let's see heaven come. Jesus wants us to share his power. This is so important. We don't serve a king that's all about him that says, worship me, give me. This is a king that says, I'm giving you everything I have. In fact, I'm giving you me. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. I will be in you. You will be in me. Together we will do this thing. This is a God that's not insecure. This is a God who's out to see his men and women rise up by faith and do extraordinary things. What about you today? This is not just for now, it's forever. Let's go, Jesus said. And then point number two that Peter had to learn, which is really important, is that our faith sometimes is wobbly. Our faith sometimes, it's here and then it's gone. You know, I was thinking about the other week when Aria comes to me and says, I've got a wobbly tooth. I know what she means by that. She's like, I'm ready for some money. Give me some money. But a wobbly tooth. And I don't know what way you've done wobbly tooths before, or teeth before. You maybe put a bit of string on, give it a yank. Maybe someone else give it a pull. I don't know what way you did it. But you understood it was part of the process of growing up, wobbly teeth. And then eventually, hopefully, you get to a point where you know more wobbly teeth, and then maybe by the end, you have more wobbly teeth. I don't know. But wobbly teeth are inevitable, and it will happen. Wobbly faith is inevitable. Why? Because we live in a world that's crazy, and we find ourselves in a good form and then bad form, and then we find ourselves saying, I need a drink, or I need this, or I need that, because everything's crazy, and I'm just trying to get okay. And yet the Lord says, come on, I am with you. And there are times where you're going to see me, and then there are times where it's going to be a bit of a disaster. And when it comes to Peter, I think we're way too hard on Peter. It's just like, oh, yeah, Peter, yeah, he walked on water. We missed that part. Then we go, yeah, but he sunk. And I'm like, yeah, but he walked on water. And for a split second, in a crazy environment, he took his eyes off Jesus. You know, here's the truth. Maybe today you've already taken your eyes off Jesus, and it was maybe during my preaching, or it was maybe during the worship, and it didn't really matter, because at the end of the day, it's only a second or two, so there's no real cost to it. Or maybe you knew that old one where, oh, I just love to read and pray at night, and then after 2 minutes, straight asleep. It's like, Lord, oh, no, I meant to say more awake, but, you know, I'm just so exhausted, I'm just so tired. Those things, they're not that much of a big deal. But if you're on a boat in the middle of Galilee, and it's pitch black dark, and it's in the midst of a storm, and then you ask Jesus, can you come out into the water, and you get out onto the water, and you walk on water, and then suddenly for a split second, you take your eyes off Jesus, and you see everything else is going on, and then you begin to sink. Come on, I don't think Peter was all that bad, but the cost was high. The cost was high. And I think for some of us today, we have just thought that we're just going through this life and, you know, maybe we're not Peter, but we're ourselves and we're just living here, living there. And actually, we are paying a dearer price than we realize, because we're not keeping our eyes on Jesus enough, which means we're just living a normal everyday life. And I don't believe that Jesus came to die on the cross for you to live a normal everyday old life. I believe that he came to die on the cross so you could live like him and represent him when he's not here, so that you could do greater things. Because there's never been a better time in history where there's been more Christians on the planet. It's incredible. Followers of Christ on the planet today are greater than ever before by miles. It's just unbelievable in all the times of history. And yet, I'm saying, Lord, we need more. We need more. And it's not that we need more of him. He needs more of us. Amen? He needs more out of us, because the Spirit of God is upon your life. The Spirit of God is in your life, and he has won you, and he has bought you at the highest price. And he's saying, come on, guys. Come on, church. Come on, my people. It is time to rise up just like Peter. I've got a job for you today. And so I want to encourage you. I know in the storm there can be the waves, the wind, the thunder, and in life there's all those things in the storms of life. But I want to say to you, don't miss what God has for you. You see, for Peter, he's on that boat, and there's maybe the other 12 disciples, maybe all 12 of them were there, which means 11 didn't even bother to get out of the boat. We don't know the exact number, but the number of people, there's only him that tried. And don't you love that he actually tried? And I'm saying to you, come on, we have to try in our faith, step out in our faith, go for these things in our faith. Otherwise, we'll be the 11 that never tried. Jesus is trying to get our attention. Nothing is impossible if you believe. Amen? And then last story, and then we're gonna finish up in just a few moments. We're going to go from Jesus, Peter on the boat, walking on water. Did he learn anything? And now years later, we're going to follow it up. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Anybody remember this story? Peter and John, and they meet a lame man at the gate. Beautiful. We're going to go to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to see how much Peter has changed. Because remember, the goal of your life is, as you get to know Jesus, your life will change. As you get to know him, everything about you is going to change. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Wow, they're mentioning the time here. Remember before it was almost like 4 or 5 in the morning. Now it's 3 in the afternoon. Different time, same sort of day. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. There's the thing. The guy comes, he gets brought, he's a beggar, he sits there every day, he begs, and he gets his money for the day, and then he comes back the next day. It's just over and over and over again. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave his full attention, expecting to get something from them. Then, verse 6, then Peter said, silver and gold do I not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow. This is another miraculous story, only this time Jesus is not there. But who is there? Peter. And what does Peter look like? Or who does Peter look like? He looks like Jesus. Jesus was here for a period. He trained him up. He showed him the way. And now finally, Peter has got it. We can do the same as him. If we believe in Jesus, it's not just about worshiping Jesus, it's about living for Jesus, it's about representing Jesus, and everything that he did, we can do it too. How good is that? Wherever we go, we can do it. And there's a special mention of the man coming into the temple. They're like, oh, that's that guy. So they recognized him. Why did they recognize him? Because he sat there for a very long time. But one day, just like a boy with a packed lunch, just like Jesus, just like Peter now this day, his life is going to change because someone remembered we can be like Jesus in a fallen, broken world. I'm going to get our worship team to come. But God is looking to speak to our hearts. The man wanted money, but Peter took responsibility and said, we have faith to see better. We've got faith that we can see your life panning out better than it's panning out right now. It's like we could give you money, but your life's going to be no different. But we can give you Jesus, and your life will never, ever be the same again. How good is God? See, church, today, God's trying to grab our attention. He's trying to say, you can either follow me and just continue to do the Bible studies and the prayer things and all of that. No, that's wonderful. Or you can recognize that you can actually get out there and put legs to your faith. You can actually get out there and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. It's not about if you're 50 years in the ministry or you've been here, you've been there. You could be a small boy. You could be Peter who's messed it up numerous times over and over and over again. But if you're a person with faith, you can move mountains. If you're a person with faith and believe in Jesus, you can see things happen. God is here, and he is wonderful in all his ways. Now, let me give you a special note. Nathan, I'm going to get our worship team to come. Verse 7 says this, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. The thing I notice here, which is absolutely unbelievable, do you remember what Jesus did to Peter when Peter sank? What did he do? It said he had to reach down and pick him up. Where did Peter learn this? He learned it from Jesus. And he finally realized this is not just about Jesus rescuing me anymore. Oh, Lord, save me again. Lord, help me back again. No, this is about me rescuing other people now. And so I'm going to reach out and I'm going to bring people up. And where did Peter learn this? Under the sea, in a way. Where did Peter learn this? In a moment of failure. Where did Peter learn this? After he had stepped out, did something wonderful for Jesus, and now he finds himself sinking fast. And in that moment, Jesus reached out and he rescues him. And now what's Peter doing? Peter's saying, I can do the same things as Jesus. And when he sees the man sitting at the gate, and he'd been there for a long time, Peter says, I know what to do now. I know what to do. If I reach out with my hand, I think I can see this man restored too. Because just like Jesus rescued me with a hand, I can rescue him with my hand because I believe in Jesus. Church, I got to get your attention. The Holy Spirit needs to get your attention. And I don't want you to miss this. The power and the presence of God is on your life. If you have given your life to Jesus, then Jesus is on you. The Holy Spirit is upon you. If you've never been baptized in the Spirit, then I encourage you to get baptized in the Spirit. But the faith of God is on your life. And wherever you go, you bring this with you. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is upon you. And so at any moment, you can meet a man at a gate called Beautiful. I think around this city and around this town, there are many gates, there are many doorways, there are many homes, there are many places where people are in distress, where people are in bondage, where people are in hurt, where people are literally dying. And what Jesus needs is men and women of faith, just even a tiny bit of faith, maybe a boy or a girl with a packed lunch, but somebody that's willing to stop, recognize what's going on, and reach out their hand and pull somebody up. You see, when we do this, church, here's what I want to say to you. It's a big risk, isn't it? You know, when Peter puts his hand down to pull that man up, it's like, oh, Lord, you better come through, otherwise I'm looking like an idiot. Oh, Lord, you better work. I mean, he maybe prayed better than he'd ever prayed before. Or maybe, just maybe, he fully believed at this point that he says, I've got no doubts. I trust in Jesus. See, how did Peter learn? Through many, many mistakes. I want to encourage you today, don't get trapped in, I've got to be perfect, it's got to all work out, it's got to be this, it's got to be that. No, learn through many mistakes if it's required, because God is here and he wants to encourage you that you can do the same things that he did. Can we stand together? We're going to sing. See, I'm here to transform the world just like Jesus. We can't forget this. If we forget this, then we'll just go about our business every day and nothing will be any different, nothing will change. But if we get a hold of this, if we get a grip of this, then suddenly we will go through our world and we will see a transformed change, and we will realize that every car journey has something going on. Every shopping trip, there's possibility. Every moment of every day, God wants to use me in some way, shape, or capacity. I want to remind us today that the Lord has called us and he has purposed us. And the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is upon you if you're a believer in Christ, which means you can do all the things that God promised and even greater, Jesus said it himself. Come on, we're going to pray today. Come on, we're going to pray and we're going to believe today that the Lord would anoint us and remind us and give us those holy hands that he has already given us, but just that we would have an awareness of it. Lord, I pray today for your goodness. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would minister to every heart. Come on, Lord, we don't want to be a church that goes from one Sunday to the next, just trying to go through the motions, just trying to get back to our safe haven, just to get better again. No, 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 we will be a church that will go out and we will see transformation and breakthrough. Because the men and women of God in this place understand their calling, they understand their anointing, they understand the grace of God that's on their lives. It's not going to be me, Lord, it's going to be you through me. But Lord, I'm here to do all that you've planned and called me to do. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you are grabbing our attention. We are not just going to be spectators. It's too easy just to watch, too easy just to press play and pause. But Lord, we are going to be participators. We're going to be people that gets in the trenches. We're going to be people that get messy. We're going to be people that gets in and gets hurt sometimes, because we're getting so close to people. We're getting so close to them that they can feel our presence and they're aware that we are there. I pray, Lord, that you are grabbing our attention today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that something is changing on the inside so that we will no longer be the same again. And I pray, Heavenly Father, come and remind us and touch us and anoint us afresh for the mission in front of us to transform this world in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's worship him today, church. Amen.